it's all about the Benjamins, baby, because we just watched Bad Ben, and things are about to get spooky on
B-Movie Mania!
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania! And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and Crazy Chris Hudson.
Welcome, welcome, everybody, back to another episode of B-Movie Mania. I am your host for this evening, Bad Jason, and along with me, as always, is Bad Mike.
Goo goo gaga.
And Bad Crazy Chris.
Bad Crazy Chris.
Bad Crazy Chris.
Oh, yes. We watched a movie called Bad Ben, and it's by Nigel Bock. It stars Nigel Bock, and only has Nigel Bock in it.
He literally does everything, I think.
He does everything. Like, in the movie, because it's a ghost movie. It's a found footage ghost paranormal movie.
Ugh.
He does have some people that were pulling around furniture for him on cords, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah, there's a couple shots like that, yeah.
Yeah. So the basic synopsis, this is going to be super quick. Tom Riley, played by Nigel
Bock.
There's
not much to it.
Tom Riley buys a home from a sheriff's auction with the intent to flip it and finds out it's haunted by something called Bad Ben. That's it. So, like I said, it's a found footage movie, so mileage may vary, if you like that sort of thing or not. But let's find out if we like it and do some quick takes.
Quick takes!
Okay.
Quick takes!
Bad Mike, what do you think?
Oh, dear listener, pause the podcast right now and watch this movie if you haven't seen it. Like, just, it's 82 minutes long. It's an hour and 20 minutes, guys. Just pause it right now. Go watch it. It's on Amazon Prime, maybe somewhere else. And watch Bad Ben. Don't watch the other ones. Not that you shouldn't. Just, we're talking about specifically about Bad Ben. So don't watch like the three or four other Bad Ben movies. Just watch Bad Ben.
Yeah.
Do it. It won't be a waste of your time.
And if I may, since you sort of introduced it, there are five movies in the Bad Beniverse. There is Bad Ben.
Bad Beniverse.
Steelmanville Road, which is a prequel.
Which is a prequel.
Yes. Badder Ben. There's Bad Ben, the Mandela Effect, which I believe is sort of an alternate reality version of Bad Ben, which I have not seen that one yet. And then the Crescent Moon Clown. So there's a lot of these. But anyway, Bad Crazy Chris, what do you think? I have a feeling it's a very different opinion.
This is no longer your home. It's time for you to cross over and watch the movie. Peace awaits you there. This is no longer your home. It's time for you to cross over and watch the movie. Peace awaits you there. This is no longer your home. It's time for you to cross over and watch the movie. Peace awaits you there.
And that's not
it
even a quote.
It sounds like he said the same thing I said.
It does. That's not even a quote from the movie either. Chris just said that.
Yeah, that's not a quote from the end of the film.
The movie costs a total of $300. I sort of somehow end up getting picked. Like, I usually try to pick a movie like this every season, I guess. It's just kind of become a thing. Evidently, what the budget breakdown was, $75 went to a harness that he had to wear, and we'll get to why later, that he considered returning it to Home Depot, but he did not.
Oh, God, I wish he had, Nigel! Fuck
well,
yeah, dude!
Well, then we wouldn't get the sequels,
Mike. Use it, return it.
We wouldn't get the sequels, Mike, unless he bought a new one every time.
$225 went to the other people who just pulled strings, like, and made furniture move. I don't know. That seems like a crazy rate, but that's what he said.
I wonder how much of that $300 was his mortgage payment because he used his own goddamn house for the movie.
And what a house, man. That was a big house.
That's a nice house. Yeah, yeah. I was pretty impressed.
If I may quote him, it's a real beaut.
It's a beaut. I don't know what he did to win that lottery. Oh, there's so many good lines in this movie.
Oh, God.
So, okay, other just quick facts. He shot it with a GoPro, from what he said in an interview that I heard. The movie is doing quite well on Amazon Prime, which is where you should go watch it.
Although it's also on YouTube if you don't feel like shelling out.
Correct. He put all of his movies out on YouTube because he wants the Bad Beniverse to be seen. So he just released them all. So you can see them all on YouTube, too. He's doing pretty good with the money he's making from what he was describing.
Good.
There was no script, and in fact...
No quick, shit! Yeah. What?
I am no so
script?
Surprised.
No script. And in fact, he told an interesting story about how he was originally shooting a totally different movie, and he had eight actors lined up, and they all dropped out. So he got mad, and he was frustrated in his car, flipped on his iPhone, and just started recording. And that was the opening shot that made it into the movie of Bad Ben. So
that makes so much sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, one of you guys want to talk about that opening, how that opens up?
I mean, he's driving in his truck. He's coming home from the sheriff's sale, where he kind of mentions that he got a house. He would have paid anything for it. He really liked this house, apparently. He's never seen the inside.
Well, he did put every penny he owns into this thing.
Yes. So he's in the house for his whole life savings.
I have never seen, I talk to myself a lot, but I've never, ever seen or heard of anyone who talks to themselves as much as this guy.
Okay.
You haven't been to my house. Holy shit, dude.
What, you do it or your roommate does it?
I talk to myself quite a bit, but my roommate, friend of the show, Christopher Arneson, love you, Chrissy. Mm-hmm. I know you're listening. And he won't deny this. Sings to himself constantly. Just everything is a song to himself. So,
well, he's kind of like a theatery type of guy, right?
Yeah. He's an improv boy. No, it's not a problem. Their songs are great. Well, I'm just saying, to counter Hudson's comment, you should come live at my house for a bit, and everything's a fucking musical.
Well, okay. Mike, to be fair though, singing might be pushing the boundaries, but when he starts swearing at ghosts. Then you've got a man.
Tom swears a lot in this movie, and I love it.
Tell your kids watch it. There's a lot of there's a lot of cusses.
I'm a fan of some creative swearing, and I feel like Tom just nails it. I love it. So this opening shot, he gets to the house, and the first thing he does is he walks through it to kind of establish that all of the camera angles, because the family that lived there before had cameras up all over the place in every room except the bathrooms. So he walks the house sort of acting like he's looking at it and inspecting it, but really for the audience it's like, okay, here are your camera angles that
I have to say real quick though, just to warn the viewers should they watch this movie, that a good chunk of the first third of the movie is Tom on the phone with the security camera company.
The cloud storage guy. See, okay, I thought, and please feel free to, disagree or bring up other points. I felt like the way he communicated how everything worked in the story was pretty good, considering this guy's in a movie by himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought the cloud storage guy was really effective, actually, because he's on his phone, which I thought that's what you're going to warn about, Chris, because I know you don't like first-person view type stuff.
Yeah, I got motion sick pretty early on, but
because there's a lot of him holding a phone, supposedly, though I guess it's a GoPro, right? But either way, it's first-person view, and so like he's got that in there a lot. But then he gets the cameras, establishes the cameras, and they're in each room. And then he gets on the phone with the eventually, after a couple incidents, he gets on the phone with the cloud storage guy to, like, have him help it set it up. So we establish that like character connection with literally a character that's not there.
Yeah.
And then, yep. and then later on that is used in a really effective way where the cloud guy like seems to take a little interest in what's going on in this house and sees the footage and like confirms Tom's like worst fears and all that kind of stuff. It's well, I don't know if he has worse fears. Tom doesn't seem to give a shit about anything.
Tom,
but
he just wants to flip that fucking house, you know. And if you know, if that riding lawnmower works, bonus.
Yeah,
I love Tom Riley so much in this. Like, just yeah, we got to get to the goods here. So he, while he's upstairs, he hears a sound, and I believe he says,
"Hey, God damn it!"
And he runs down. He runs downstairs, and the furniture is all over the room. Oh, everything's been moved, and he doesn't know why. So he thinks somebody's messing with him, and somebody's in the house. And so he calls the cloud storage guy and has him sets up this plan where every single camera is going to record for a week solid. And that's kind of how you get the footage for the movie.
You know, it's interesting, though, as much as the furniture is moved and shuffled around the room, Bad Ben, really, he leaves the TVs alone. Any electronics, off limits.
Well,
so that was very, very nice of him.
As we will come to discover, though, Bad Ben is a child, right? So maybe he couldn't reach the TVs.
Oh, could be, yeah. But in my experience, children are the ones who really love to break that shit.
That is true. That is true. Maybe we could address that with Nigel someday. Because I want to be friends with him.
Guys, I don't want to just rail the conversation right now, but it's somewhere in the timeline of the movie right now that I realized in my second viewing that I am not watching the right movie, and I am in fact watching Bad Ben the Mandela Effect.
No.
Yeah, I swear to fucking God.
Oh, my God. Wait.
I was rewatching it before this taping.
Okay.
I was rewatching it before this taping. And I clicked on it, and the cover is, like, the same except for the tiny caption that says the Mandela Effect. Yeah. They're almost the same. And so I'm watching it, and, like, it's raining at the beginning. That didn't click with me until I started rewatching it again, and it's not raining at the first one. Like, it's almost shot for shot, but literally redone every shot. It's fucking insane.
Weird.
And there's little weird differences. And so, like... So I'm watching this, and he starts walking around the outside property at night, which he hasn't done yet in what we've said.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when did this happen so early? I thought there was the furniture and all that stuff. He's walking around the back of the property at night, finds a grave, digs up the grave. There's a creepy doll in it.
Yeah.
And like, and he refers to it, he constantly refers to it as this creepy little bitch.
Oh wait, no, the doll wasn't found in the grave though. The doll's later on in the
What I'm saying. Yeah. I'm watching this movie and going, I don't remember this doll being part of this in the grave. What's this? And then like the doll starts haunting the house right away. Like it plays on the piano the first night he's there, and like stuff, weird stuff happens. And I'm like, I don't remember this shit this way. This is weird. And then I suddenly clicks on me. Oh, fuck. Am I watching the wrong one? And I'm watching the Mandela Effect. Like, I was having a Mandela Effect moment. It was.
Whoa.
It is very well done. Nigel, holy shit, dude. It's so fucking well done.
That is awesome. Yeah, I mean.
It's amazing.
From what I understood, yeah, it was a remake of Bad Ben. Not, but it's sort of like purposely a remake, but in the same universe, but like a different dimension or something.
So for anyone who is not familiar with the Mandela Effect, it's this concept that people are remembering things, not that they're remembering things incorrectly, like that Nelson Mandela died in prison in the 80s, which is what it gets its name from. Some people genuinely believe that they remembered Nelson Mandela died in prison in the 80s. Or a common one is that the Baron Stein Bears were called the Berenstain Bears, but now they're different. And so like there's this weird like a dimension shift that people think there's like other, you know, parallel worlds type situation. And so that's what this other movie's playing off of. And it's like just slight differences enough. And like the dialogue is the same. He takes down all the Christian artifacts and he finds the big Bible in the house the same way in this movie, except there's little differences. It's weird, man.
Wow. I will definitely check it out. Yeah. I'm totally in on that.
Thank God we've got both versions.
Yeah, sorry. Just at this point is where I went that far into the movie till I was just being confused the second time I watched it. But anyway, I'm sorry to derail.
That's okay.
The furniture keeps moving in the house. The furniture keeps moving. Now
it
what?
Does. At one point, Tom gets locked out of his house. Well, Bad Ben locks him out, and it's probably my favorite line of the movie. Anybody remember this?
Great. I wrote this down, Jay. Fuck my life. God damn it.
Fuck my life. God damn it.
And it just keeps going from there. It's so
he's
great.
So great. And then, question for you guys. What is that bird noise that's outside in every night scene?
I don't know. It's a moonlight cockatiel or something. I don't know.
It's some animal or bird living outside of his house, but it's on every night scene. And,
yeah.
We see shadows at night moving outside.
One thing I wanted to talk about is as silly as the swearing and everything gets later on in the movie, it's kind of effective seeing the shadows go against the wall and seeing the security camera footage, and you're just like seeing movement, just you don't quite see what it is, and that's I thought that was pretty effective.
Yeah, totally. And one thing I liked about this whole part is like, okay, the power goes out, right? And, of course, Tom says,
"You gotta be shitting me. What now?"
What did I do to win this lottery?
Yeah, everything is mild annoyance. There's no fear in this movie.
Nothing
man.
Gets him down.
Nothing. I love the fact that it's played, this horror movie is played so against what you would expect. Like, he's just pissed off at everything that happens. Like, it's not fear at all. I just thought it was so cool. And so, but at this point, when the power goes out, he switches to his phone, right? And normally, that kind of shot annoys me in these kind of movies. Because it's sort of like, well, would that be your first reaction? You know, like, oh, like, let's whip out the phone simply so the audience can see what's happening. But in this case, it makes sense because Tom believes somebody is messing with him. And is in the house, and he wants to catch them, you know, on camera. So that's why he's running around looking at everything with his phone and narrating. So I thought that was pretty effective, actually. It's another sort of clever use of the found footage style to accomplish his story.
Agreed.
Yes.
Agreed. What happens? What else happens when the lights are on? He checks out the attic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, checks out. It's cold up
it's
there.
It's cold.
It's cold inside. He's got to find this rogue air conditioning unit that is just freezing the house.
No, he sells that air conditioner. I mean, did you see the way that blows the blinds? Oh, it will knock you off the shitter if you're sitting underneath the vent.
It'll blow you right off the toilet seat if you're under the vent.
Well, did you notice the house is so big it actually had two air conditioners?
Yeah.
Nigel's doing pretty good for himself,
I
guess.
He's doing all right.
He's got a big house.
This Bad Ben money is just bonus.
It's rolling in. He's got a couple different areas of the house he can't get into.
Just the basement, right?
The basement, and then for a little bit, the shed. He can't get into the shed.
Oh, right. Yeah, he's locked out of the shed. Yeah, he didn't have the keys.
Yeah, he walks the grounds, and this is a very important part. You want to say what happens when he's walking around in the grounds?
Oh, yeah. First of all, he's got like 9 acres here, and it backs up against the marsh. Like, there's a marsh back there, and he doesn't want to go all the way back there, but he goes far enough back just enough to see what he bought at the auction. Mm-hmm. And he turns around, and he sees, like, some sort of, like, pet grave or something there's a rock on it and a little, like, cross made of sticks and, like, a little child's music box kind of thing. That mm-hmm. It's got to be at least 75 years old or something.
Yeah.
And and he takes that because he can get some cash for that. It's an antique. That.
Again, he's just like, well, that's going on eBay right there.
He just wants to sell so many things. He's going to make a fortune from buying this house.
Oh, my God. But it's great because it's clearly some sort of grave. And you know you're
creepy.
Watching a horror movie. It's creepy. And he's like... He just, like, tears it apart.
Unfortunately, I don't want anybody finding this shit back here. So.
It's on his land, man. He just bought it.
He totally desecrates it.
Getting rid of all that.
Oh, it's so great.
We get some more scenes of, you know, like, the shadows moving outside and everything. It's pretty constant once it starts. Like, it doesn't really let up.
He finds some cool shit in the shed.
What's he find, Mike?
uh, Well, he finds he finds a sweet ass snowblower. Oh, which is just a bonus.
Oh yeah.
If it works, it's like $300 or $400 more dollars, right? Like, it's great.
He's gonna make so much money selling everything he found in that house. It's great.
Yeah. He also finds a trash bag with a chest full of knives in it and a baby blanket with blood all over it.
That explains why there's not a fucking knife inside the house.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Right. They're all in the chest in the shed.
He opens it. He opens the bag and he's like, this better not be what was out, what's buried back there. Yeah. And then he says,
holy shit, I probably shouldn't be touching this stuff. It's probably evidence. I joke, but that could be what it is.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah. No shit. This is the one point. Right. Okay. Tom would not call the police, but for me as the viewer, as all of us as the viewer, we were, I'm sure all of us just, no, you fucking call the authorities
absolutely.
Now. If for no other reason, you cover your ass, you're touching evidence of a dead baby.
Right. Absolutely. Not Tom. Tom has his own way of doing things and it seems to work okay for him.
It works out.
Later that evening, he's sleeping in his chair, and he gets a call from about security, right? And this is where he starts to figure out what's going on, because this is what you alluded to earlier, Mike. He gets a call from the cloud storage guy, because Tom thinks there's, like, a camera lag. So when he sees stuff that's moved around, he just thinks that, oh, the camera didn't click on, and the action happened, and then the camera clicked on, so it didn't see it. But the cloud storage guy sends the footage and Tom reviews it and pretty much just in his very calm way confronts that he's dealing with the supernatural.
Dude, how the hell is this possible?
Well, it's a few minutes after this, he's standing in his living room and Bad Ben starts moving the furniture around and right in front of him. Yeah. And he moves it back and then Bad Ben moves it again. He moves it back. He just says, stop it.
Yeah. Stop it.
He doesn't care that there's a spirit here. It's awesome. Yeah. And then when the Bad Ben opens up the front door, Tom runs and somehow there's a hatchet just readily available right there. And he grabs a hatchet to go confront the spirit. Oh, it's so good.
I think that part's really well done. Like, because with the way when Bad Ben opens that front door, what has just happened on the screen for us as a viewer and for Tom technically is he's watched that footage from the cloud storage guy. Mm-hmm. So he saw video of the furniture moving around with no one doing it. And then he saw the shot of when he got locked out of the house. So you see the front door close on him. And then we cut out to see like the living room security camera and Tom talking to the cloud storage guy. And then creepily, darkly, that front door just goes creep. Yeah.
That was really
which
well
is
done.
What you just saw, which I think was really like it really connected you to that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh no. Yeah.
I've got to take issue with something you said a moment ago, Jay, that he doesn't care that there's a ghost in the house. A few minutes after the stuff that we're talking about now, I'm going to quote him here because I wrote this down.
Mm-hmm.
Having ghosts or spirits in the house is creepy and is going to make this house hard to sell. I think
that's
he cares.
Very true. Okay.
He cares for that
he
reason.
He does cares care for that reason.
Simply because of his investment. Like, that's it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not the fear of death or anything.
I'm not scared. I'm a Christian.
We do get an important scene with the music box, and he asks questions. And when the answer is yes, we hear the music from the music box like this. And then if the answer is no,
you hear silence like this.
Ben, did somebody hurt you? Holy fuck.
I was kind of almost nodding off early because it was late. And honestly, as much as we like the one-liners, this movie's a bit slow. And so I'm just kind of like, and then bang. I'm like, oh, shit.
You know,
did not
Nigel did say that he considers that the biggest scare of any of the movies. Not just this movie, any of the movies.
Wow. Well, it's a tough one to top.
You know, from there we move into a very intense scene in the kitchen the next morning when he's on the phone with whoever sold him the house.
Oh, my favorite lines in the movie.
What, what was your favorite line, Chris?
Well, there were a couple. First one is,
I know I bought the house as is, but that means like plumbing problems or electrical problems or a bad roof. Not like somebody's been slaughtered in a house.
Well, my other favorite one is he's pretty angry at whoever he's talking to on the phone. He's just like,
yes, I know what cavi and emptor means. Do you know what go fuck yourself means?
Do you know what go fuck yourself means? He's so annoyed. He's so angry over this goddamn ghost.
Oh, it doesn't stop there either.
Fuck you, you fucking whore. God damn it.
God damn it.
The next day, he talks about how the grave he found, it's all dug up. And he's just like, I'm not going to overthink it. The music box is also gone. So, he can't find the music box. He's just like, whatever.
Oh, yeah, because this is then that night the power goes out again, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And he hears a rap-tap-tapping upon the attic door.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we find some big stuff up there.
Mm-hmm. And so this is where, like, it's nighttime, so it's got that green-lit night vision kind of look to it. And he, like, it's pretty creepy, you know? I get creeped out every time he walks up the stairs. This is, like, this short suit of armor up the top of the stairs.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I am just waiting for that thing to fucking come to life.
Oh, yeah. I thought the same thing.
And then you remember this was a $300 movie.
Right.
And hey, one of his kids could have been in it. I don't know. But he hears this, he's following this knocking throughout the house, and he goes, finds the attic, and that's where it's coming through. So he opens it with one hand, opens up the attic and pulls down the folding ladder, climbs up there and is looking around, and it's just weird. And then suddenly the power kicks back on and it's cold and there's a Christmas tree.
Oh, and there is a smell. There's something. Something must be dead upstairs.
Something's gross up there. But this is like our first introduction to the attic, which he crawl. Well, is it either way? He crawls around, right? And this is where he finds the other bag of shit. Is that right?
He finds the crucifix thingy, or like in a sort of like a pentagram or something made out of sticks, and then an urn and a candle
and a. And a voodoo doll.
And a voodoo doll.
The voodoo dolls.
Like a little family of voodoo dolls.
There's a mom, a pop, and a little baby Ben, and they all have pins stuck in them.
And immediately he's like, well, this is all getting thrown away.
All right, all I know is this shit's got to go.
Yeah, he just tosses it. You know, this is just real proof about the dispensable generation we have, everyone. This is what the lifestyle we all live. We just throw anything away we don't want.
I mean, those are perfectly good voodoo dolls. Why wouldn't you want to keep those?
It's about this time in my notes where I just have written, like, Tom is not the guy that a ghost would want to move into their house. Like, if you're the ghost, you do not want Tom Riley moving in. And it's your responsibility to scare this guy out, because it's not going to happen.
I honestly think that the ghost genuinely feels that way, because the way the ghost acts from like this point on is just like it's pissed off at Tom, like not in a ghostly way, but in like an annoyed way, because it's at the end of this. There's another time he's up in the attic, right? And he finds the urn has been spilled over. There's ashes everywhere, right?
Yes, yes.
And the ghost, ghost writes in, not your home, in the ashes.
Immediately.
Yeah. And then Tom scrubs it out and just yells,
well, I got news for you. It is my home.
You don't scare me. If you want me out of here, you better do more than paint and dirt.
And he just, the ghost gets mad and then like turns the power back off or on or whatever, off again, slams the attic door, locks him up there. And like, it's this whole thing or whatever's going on. Like, it's just throwing a temper tantrum. Yeah,
it totally is.
Well, and it does beat the shit out of him later at one point.
It does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the same night. Once that's right. It locks him in there because he starts saying shit to the ghost. It locks him in the attic and he's like, fuck you, blah, blah, blah. This is my house. Get out. So then, so the ghost lets him out then. And so he goes out He goes to bed, and then the ghost just beats the fuck out of him in his sleep. Bed.
It's a supernatural blanket party. It's stupid.
It's a real, like, a Full Metal Jacket moment with the ghost in him.
But it's just Nigel Bock acting it out by himself.
Yeah, it is.
So, Chris, let me ask you. After the ghost beats up Tom in bed, does Tom just take it and sort of throw in the towel?
No. In fact, Jay, I believe I wrote this line down, too. Fucking ghost, want to fuck with me? Well, I got something for you. And he burns off Ben's shit.
Think I'm going to lose my entire life fucking savings over some haunting bullshit?
Yeah, he buries all the stuff. He buries all the stuff back in the grave and puts the rock on it and says,
now stay the fuck in there.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
He says, now stay the fuck in there. And then he, like, pats it down with the shovel and he's like, you better be the fuck out of my house.
Yeah. I don't know why I said burn. He reburied everything.
Oh, that's great. Oh, and okay, God, this is then where he finds the drawing. And learns a little bit more about the identity.
Yes.
Because he brings the Christian artifacts back into the house from the garbage. Just to make the ghost mad, pretty much.
And I love his line with because he took down like a framed version of the Lord's Prayer. And he's yelling out, look what's back. The Lord's Prayer. Deal with it.
Yeah. I think this is also really clever in the film. Where at the beginning, he's like, oh, what's this shit? Let me get rid of it. So he takes all the Christian like stuff and puts it in the garbage. And then he's confronted with this ghost, and he's like, well, I'm going to try to get rid of it. So he brings it back in, right? Like, and so any normal movie formula would mean this is going to help keep the ghost away.
Mm-hmm.
But it does not.
No. Well, I got to say, it's a good thing that garbage hasn't been picked up yet. But it's still true.
I actually have a Bock fact about that, if you want to hear it.
Oh, you got a Bock fact?
I have a Bock fact. He said he got a lot of flack or questions about that Bible and how he threw it in the garbage, but he wanted to assure all of the viewers that it is, in fact, safe and in good condition and back in his home.
Okay.
So, Chris, he goes around the house and is sort of trying to kick the ghost out. With was a candle, I believe, right? And this is directly the part that you took your quick take from, I believe.
This
what does
is
he
my
say?
Quick take, yes. This is no longer your home. It's time for you to cross over. Peace awaits you there. This is no longer your home. It's time for you to cross over.
Peace awaits you there.
This is no longer your home. It's time for you to cross over.
Peace awaits you there.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I banish you. Get out!
And then he mows the lawn.
Wouldn't you do that when if you banish a ghost?
Yeah, because it sort of seems to work, right, for a while.
Yeah, totally.
He put the Christian artifacts up. He did the, like, 2-minute long repeat of that with a candle and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's fine. He's mowing the lawn. He's getting things ready. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's going to be fine.
Tom gets back from going out to a nice dinner, and he comes back.
You get rid of a ghost, you got to treat yourself.
Yeah, he's done a lot of work lately. He's put a lot of work in on the house. He wants to have a nice dinner.
Absolutely.
He comes back home to find the cross is on the floor, and there's a voodoo doll of Tom knifed to the wall.
Yep.
And that does not put Tom in a good place.
He's gonna get that axe and bust down that basement door. I mean, Tom is really through fucking around.
This is the place that he's not been able to get into the entire film, or hasn't bothered to really try.
We're gonna find out where the smell comes from, the whole thing.
Yep. We're gonna find out about that pesky basement camera that hasn't been working.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Can we talk about the basement camera real quick what that implies?
Sure.
Why would you have that? I guess why do you have it in your home at all? Well,
I mean, some people are really concerned about security, so it would make sense to have it in
a
basement.
Right. Mike, think about it this way. What if instead of a ghost in the house, there were like an infestation of mole men. Now, Now, mole men naturally will come up through the basements. And if you want to make sure that your basement is safe from mole men, you're going to have
a
security camera up in the basement. All right? I'm just saying.
Well, Chris, now, if I will say, and this is not me, I'm not saying I understand the character Tom completely, but personally for me, if I was trying to make sure there weren't any mole men around, I would make sure there's maybe plenty of shiny objects outside of the basement to make sure they flock towards those things.
I see what you're saying. Well, still, you want to make sure they're not taking those shiny objects and bringing them back to their burrows in the basement.
Mm. Well, in that case, then I bring in a fat man.
Oh, okay.
Just blow them away.
Fair enough. But hey, Tom has put every penny he owns into this house. He can't afford a fat man.
That's true.
All right, I'm a little scared, but let's talk about it. What's what's in the basement?
Are you asking what's beyond the basement door, Jay?
Nice, very nice.
There's a tarp. Chris, is the tarp moving in any way?
No, not that I recall.
Okay.
Nope.
There's also a television with a blank, like a towel over it. Mm-hmm. Chris, is it moving in any way?
No, I don't believe it is.
Okay. There was a little wood stove fireplace down there. Chris, was it on fire or moving in any way?
Again, Mr. Hayes, it is not.
Okay. There's also a child's rocking chair. Was it moving in any way?
The child's rocking chair, yes. Yes, it was rocking.
Oh, dear fucking Christ.
It's chilling.
And Jay, what's the main feature, maybe the candelabra of the room just hanging there?
The candelabra? Well, there's the chain.
There's a big chain, yeah.
There's a big chain. Yeah, there's a big chain. There's also awful-looking scratches on the back of the door going in.
Yeah.
Look like somebody tried to claw their way out. And then we see that pesky basement camera was simply unplugged. And Tom plugs it back in.
Yeah, and it's everything's fine. Turns out, everything's fine.
Well, I don't know. See, okay, what happens here exactly? He pulls on the chain, right?
Yeah, he pulls on the chain. He's like, because it's coming from the ceiling, but then it goes back behind, like, the little wood stove or bookcase or whatever.
Back into the wall, yeah.
Yeah.
When Tom pulls it, Ben screams. Tom gets murdered.
He hears the scream. He gets scared because, duh.
Yeah.
And then he runs up the basement stairs, tries to get out, and then it just, bad Ben just screeches as he pulls him down into the basement and guts him.
With his own hatchet.
Did we watch a different movie? Did I watch a different movie? I just saw, maybe this is a Mandela effect. I just remember Bad Ben wrapping Tom with a chain and pulling him into,
The end. That's the very
end. No, that's right. Oh, he doesn't gut him as far as we see. I was guessing what happens after that.
Okay.
Because you see the hatchet on Tom as he's being drugged.
Right, okay.
Across the floor.
I found it odd that Bad Ben just lightly placed the hatchet on his chest instead of gutting him with it.
Well, maybe it saved him a trip of going back to get it.
Oh, yeah.
Put it on the body.
He's an efficient baby. He knows work smarter, not harder. So
yes, yep. And that is the end, folks. That is the end of the movie.
The credits,
pretty much.
Well,
yeah,
but only because the cloud storage is full at this point. The entire internet was full of data, and we don't get to see what happens next.
And I
if
did
only
reference,
we'd use the bigger hard drive.
I did reference that $75 harness. That was the scene he wore it in.
Yeah.
He wore a harness under his clothes. And so when the person with the chain pulled him, he was pulling the harness. And he said he got blood on the harness, so he couldn't return it.
Rating time.
Okay, fellas. I was thinking about what to rate this as. And really, I don't know. Nothing jumped out. I was thinking Naughty Benjamins. What do you think?
can we rate it in Good Bens?
You could rate it in Good Bens, if you want to, sure.
Yeah, I'm fine with Naughty Benjamins.
Okay, then let's go with you first, Mike. What do you got? How many Naughty Benjamins?
All right. So I'm not a big fan of the found footage thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just because there's like the Hollywood movies, and I get Paranormal Activity and Blair Witch had very low budgets and they got brought into this, but then they're also owned by these fucking, the rights are owned by these big companies and they're making a ton of money off of this fucking cheap ass shit. And I just feel like that's wrong for some reason. But that doesn't change my opinion on this. That's just maybe why I'm not a big fan of these things. That being said, I thought Bad Ben was very cleverly done. And it's something that, since he's in that genre of found footage, it's supposed to look like it does. And in fact, I think it looks better than a lot of these Hollywood found footage stuff does look, because a lot of that Hollywood found footage stuff adds effects to the cameras. They're filming with like nicer cameras and then putting effects on it to like mm-hmm. do stuff sometimes and stuff like that. This is not that. This is a GoPro and this is fucking actual security cameras.
Right. Well, like it's like, yeah, iPhone and GoPro and that's it, man.
Yeah, like it's great. So like, but and also I think the plot's clever. I think the twist on it is kind of refreshing in a sense of, you're right, he just gets annoyed at it mostly. It's pretty funny, but also creepy at the same time. Like there was absolutely a lot of points in it where I don't think anything terrified me, but I was definitely like, no, something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I liked it. I genuinely liked this movie, and I genuinely think, if you didn't stop it when I said before, fuck you. You should have watched it then, but now you know what happens. But watch it now if you haven't. Like, I think it's pretty great, especially if you like found footage. I think it would be really well done, and even if you don't. So I'm gonna give it fucking 80 naughty bends.
Oh my god,
very nice, very nice. Chris, how do you feel?
Right, you know, I agree with Mike about the found footage stuff. I really don't like that stuff. I haven't even seen any of the Paranormal Activity movies, and I doubt I ever will, because I really don't like found footage. And I saw that that's what this was, and I came into this with really low expectations. But man, I got drawn in. Like, I mean, there are some slow moments. I mean, because it can drag at times, but Tom is a compelling character. He's just such a cranky old man, just swearing left and right at these ghosts. And it's so great. It's just, it's very charming in a weird way. And I just seeing him confront this shit. I mean, we didn't talk about it, but at one point he finishes mowing the lawn. And he's like, well, I got a nasty smell to take care of. And he just gets an air freshener. He's trying to make the smell go away and nothing works. And it's so funny. But there's a lot of the creepy stuff when he's in bed, which, by the way, you see a lot of shots of Nigel in like boxers and a t-shirt and Crocs, way more than I would expect. So prepare yourself for that. But even that's charming. But the scenes of Ben creeping around the house, turning the lights on and off, I thought it was pretty well done, especially considering the limitations this guy is working on. So yeah, only one guy making this. This is the only one real character, and it works pretty well. I don't think I enjoyed it as much as Mike did, but I'll give it 70 naughty Benjamins.
Very nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I agree with what you guys had to say. I'm honestly, I'll echo what you said. I'm not a huge fan of the found footage stuff in general. I do think that Nigel Bach brought I don't know if it's just him. I don't know if it's intentional that he made the character yeah. this way, or if it was just how the movie came about. Because again, there was no script, so it was just like, this is him, and this is just how the movie turned out. And somehow it does take on this charming aspect, and it is different because of how he interprets and confronts the supernatural. And for, he must have planned it out pretty well, because it, like, the storytelling for only having one character is all done very well. So yeah, I really thought he did a great job. I plan to watch the other ones. And before I give my rating, I would like to ask you guys a question. If you are aware that there's also a Tom Riley animated show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I do, and I watched it.
Oh, yeah, I watched it too, and it might be my new favorite thing ever.
Oh, my God. Well, now I have to watch it. I saw it on his website, but I've got to
check it out. It's 15 minutes long,
now.
Chris. It is so good. It demands to be on Adult Swim. Like, it is so good.
It literally is Adult Swim. Like, I'm confused. I don't have words.
If
yes.
we can ever get Nigel on this show, I want to ask him about that so much. And I so hope he continues to do that cartoon. And if it's a Kickstarter, Nigel, tell
us. Give us another episode.
Tell us what you need to make this.
Dude.
Because it was brilliant. Anyway, back to the first Bad Ben. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I think you guys should watch it. I'm going to go 82 Naughty Benjamins.
Woo!
Nice. Wow.
So I'm glad everyone had a good time with it. Yeah.
I thought you guys would get a kick out of Tom.
I thought you guys would like the character.
The character is great.
He's great.
Yeah. I would watch that character in any movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Without a doubt.
And as you said, Jay, like the fact that it's improvised. There's not a script for it, which I get. Like if you watch a Christopher Guest movie and they don't have a script, but they've like mapped out kind of the plot, right? Mm-hmm. But like those are fucking seasoned professionals.
Right.
And I'm not saying against Nigel Bock, but I guarantee he's not a seasoned improviser and like that kind of a thing, right?
No.
Like he did such a good job. It's very awesome. It's very well done in that sense. And I really appreciate that.
To have it start out where he was just frustrated because the actors wouldn't show up. He had a completely different movie planned. And he just got annoyed when the last guy dropped out and is like, well, screw this. He turned on his iPhone and started talking. And that's how the movie began. So,
yeah, you really have to admire that. Because, he just got off his ass and made something with very little
help. Immediately. Yeah, he just immediately started. So it
was
cool.
And it's become a big franchise. I mean, 5 movies in this series now. That's crazy.
That is crazy. So, I plan to watch the rest of them. Yeah. But, thanks for going through this with me, Bad Mike and Bad Crazy Chris. And
Of course. Thank you for inviting us on this this spooky journey.
Absolutely. Ooh. Oh, by the way, do you guys want to do a extra bonus Thursday little quick take of his animated, the Tom Riley Paranormal Investigator cartoon?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it'll have to be much later because I've got to meet my kids for dinner, so I probably won't be home until, I think, probably 9, but maybe even a little later.
No, I'm talking like in show, though.
Oh.
Like, I'm pitching this to you guys.
Oh,
so you just have to agree,
shit.
And then we'll do it.
Well, now this has
to
stay in.
God damn it. Well, now we have
to
do it again.
Because we can talk about how good of an improviser Nigel Bock is compared to crazy Chris Hudson.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
Hey, you know what? You guys fell for it because I'm playing the role of a concerned dad. I pulled this right out of the hat. That's the character I'm playing. A concerned dad who's having dinner with his children and may not be home in time to record with you guys. Come on. Who's the seasoned professional now, Mike?
Wow. Really? Really flipping it on us. So,
fuck to me.
Folks, look out for our Thursday episode on Tom Riley Paranormal Investigator, the animated show. You will not regret it.
Also, watch it. And
watch it.
We'll have a link below this, too.
Yeah.
We got a link for this movie and also for the Paranormal Investigator cartoon below this. And those links, so you know, those links are links to we have an Amazon affiliate program, right? Which you could do in anything on our website, anything that links to Amazon will always go through our affiliate, which if you buy anything while using our link, we get a tiny little kickback, and that's a really easy way that doesn't cost you anything, but like gives us just a tiny kickback to help support the process of all the editing. Like we didn't edit out that thing where Chris did a bad improvise, but
or
normally we might have.
It was a great improvisation. improvisation.
Or I was a bad improvise. We don't know which one of us was bad, but we didn't edit it out because we wanted to show you how much editing doesn't... Well, shit.
Hey, I tell you what, if you want to weigh in, if you want to weigh in on who is a good improviser and a bad improviser, you can rate us and leave comments and reviews on iTunes or Stitcher or any of that where you get your podcast. So give us a good rating and give us give us a few nice words, or we might just stop editing altogether.
You're just gonna get the
guys,
raw
I've
feed.
Had like most of a bottle of wine, so.
I'm still on a dry January.
Hudson, speaking of dry, how wet are our t-shirts?
Very, very dry, but very comfortable.
They are very comfortable.
And where can they get them?
Just go to our website at bmoviemania.com. There is a link on the right-hand side as of this recording. Click it, and it will take you where you can buy a variety of t-shirts in lots of colors and styles. Possibly even a hoodie or two. Some sort of jacket.
That was a good read.
You said dry.
Oh, hey, Chris.
That's true.
What's coming up next?
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania.
Okay, guys. I have a great movie for you. All right. So I just want to say, in the world of international politics, there was one man that would stop at nothing to create the ultimate kaiju film and destroy filmmaking rivals on the world stage. Kim Jong-il kidnapped South Korean filmmaker Shin Sang-ok and together collaborated to make 1985's monster epic, Pulgasari.
This sounds very familiar.
No, but then I believe we're about to hear about something else Chris is going to tell us.
No, we're watching Pulgasari.
We already did! Tell them the rest of it! No. Tell them about Gilgamesh!
Oh,
or whatever it's called.
Oh, shit, that's right, I forgot we already did Pulgasari. Pulgasari. Alright, well then, okay. Alright, we're just going to watch Galgameth then. It's a kid-friendly version of the same story Shin Sang-ok made in the United States once he escaped. Oh. It's on YouTube. So let's do that one.
Let's do
okay,
that.
Perfect.
Awesome. Oh, this is going to be great.
Oh, boy.
It's been fun, but this is no longer your home. It's time to cross over.
Cross over.
Peace awaits you there.
We'll fight you there.
This is no longer your home. It's time to cross over. Peace awaits you there.
This is no longer your podcast.
No longer your home.
It's time for you to cross over. Peace awaits you there.
All right, I'll just fade that out.
Listen up, maniacs.
Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out. Touch them. They're touching themselves. And they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
Fuck my life.